That being said, we will go ahead and get into tonight's episode. As always, I like to say mirrors have three purposes. They show you where you've been, who you are, and help you become who it is you want to be. So we're going to take a minute tonight, take a look at the man in the mirror, take a look at our reflection, and see if we can't become better than what we started the day. So I want to welcome y'all to, it's kind of a special edition here of Reflections, but to the public square. We're going to have a little bit of a relationship roundtable. Gonna discuss a couple things and have a candid discussion, and we have these three wonderful women here to join us and help us and share some perspectives. So before we get started and really jump into everything, I just kind of want to go around and let everybody introduce yourself, a little bit about your background, and then we'll jump into tonight's topic. So Miss Brianna, if you want to go ahead and start.
Other certificates and experiences. I'm also a chaplain and a published author and a life coach. So that's just a little bit about me.
All right, awesome. Well, appreciate you being here tonight. Whoever would like to go next?
Well, you should let me go first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because now I look bad after Brianna.
No, I'm just joking. I'm Kendra. Like, I don't have any, I'm Kendra, so I'm just here to have some open discussions and open dialogue.
Awesome.
Hello, everyone. I am June Carell, aka Poetess Black June, and I do a plethora of things, but tonight I would say I have a free Facebook group called The Waiting Room for Singles, where we are all members. So hey, shout out to the waiting room. And I also had a single ministry at my church, Truth and Love Ministries, here in Jacksonville, Florida. So shout out to Truth and Love and the Salt Ministry, which stands for Single Something True. So I bring a lot of life experience. I say that a lot of life experience to the table. So I'm just here to chat and support my brother, Pastor Harvey.
Pastor
Headed, and
she
said she's just
Kendra,
but she's my
sister
Kendra, y'all.
I'm just Kendra.
But anyway, I won't throw
you
under the bus tonight.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Well, I appreciate y'all joining and being willing to have the conversation, because I think sometimes, especially in today's society, there's a skewed view on relationships. I think, personally, I think it's either one extreme or the other. I think oftentimes society has one depiction, or it's almost encouraged now to not be loyal, not be faithful, find the sneaky link, have multiple options, and you know, like you're diversifying a financial portfolio. And then you have the other side of the spectrum, oftentimes perpetrated by the church, and you know, it's like you just have extremes. You know, it's like, oh well, if they're not this and not that, then that's not God's person for you. Well, you know, my relationship with God and what's equally yoked is between me and God, not your perception of what you think my life and my calling is. And so I think we have two sides of the spectrum. I think a lot of times we have this misconception, or that relationships are like status symbols, like we can't be alone. If we're alone, it says something negative about us. Or you have the opposite, you know, like if I'm in a relationship, I must need to be with somebody. So like there's all these misconceptions. So I just wanted to have this conversation tonight, just kind of talk about a few things, various topics. I know I had sent you guys kind of a list, not all encompassing, of course, but, you know, just various things that we could touch on. But I just wanted to have a very real, candid discussion, not scripted, not, you know, not a driven agenda. Just let's just talk about it. Let's give some personal feedback and thoughts and see what we can do. Now, for those of you that are watching, you see me constantly like looking down at the, you know, down on the screen. It's because I'm trying to keep up with any comments that might come up in the live. So I promise I'm not disengaged. You know, I don't want anybody to feel that way. But I guess let's start by, I would say, defining what a relationship is. defining what, you know, what is being single, what is dating, what is being exclusive, like, so we can kind of set some ground rules, I guess, for the discussion, if that makes sense. Oh, it's a free-for-all. Just go ahead and jump in.
Oh. You said defining what a relationship is?
Yeah, yeah, like, what's your definition of a relationship?
Okay, so two individuals, and I'm going to go with the relationship. You know, we have relationships with our families, we have relationships with, you know, coworkers, we have relationships with our kids and friends, but in terms of relationship between a man and a woman, I'm going to go two people who are on the same page and have the same understanding of who they are to one another in each other's lives. They both are giving the same energy and not one person carrying the relationship, but both people working with the same common goal. To me, that represents a relationship of two people.
Okay.
Not two people and extra. Yeah, man and woman.
Okay.
That's my definition.
Okay.
But I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, man and woman, just two people.
Okay.
Because now I'm not necessarily saying that it's the, well, I don't even want to condemn it at all, because it's just because it's not my thing doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong thing. But, you know, it's just two people, like-minded people, like Jewel said, with the same common goal. Being true to each other.
Okay.
And what in whatever capacity that lies in.
All right.
I agree with everybody. You can't be in a relationship by yourself. So you have to have agreement with one another for the common the goal of what the two are coming together for. And it like you when you go into exclusive, is it going to be exclusive? Are we going to just date and see other people at the same time? So you have to go into any relationship knowing that's even with a friendship, you know, are you going to be my table person? Are you just going to be someone that I associate with? So I think you have to have common goals, common clear lines of what it is that you're entering into. And I think a lot of times, and I know you're probably going to get into it, but I think a lot of times that is the problem that most people have, is that those lines are not clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. D Brown says, two people linking. That's how he's defining it. And, you know, but here's my thing, though. I think a lot of times we try to force our definition on other people. And even the person we're trying to, quote unquote, be in a relationship with. And so, like you were saying, those lines aren't clear. You know, I think there's got to be very concise, very open communication right from jump, personally. Like, you know, even if, now granted, if I'm just getting to know you and we're not kind of at that level and, you know, we're just talking here and there a little bit, getting to know each other, then cool. But if I have a thought that it can progress, I need to be open about what I want. And what I expect, and make sure that, you know, you're on the same page. D says communication, both parties need to commit. And I think we're all kind of saying the same thing. You know, and I do want to preface here that, you know, some of the conversation obviously is going to be driven by our personal or faith-based beliefs, etc. So it's not meant to offend anybody that's watching or any, you know, anything to that effect. Just our personal feelings, personal thoughts on relationships and different things that are going on. So, you know, talk about defining, you know, those lines and being clear about expectations. Do you ladies feel that for the most part expectations generally are clear, or are they unreasonable? Are they not communicated at all? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it all depends on who you're dealing with, because personally, I'm very honest and to the point, and I have no problem setting my guidelines and my expectations and my, you know, my thoughts and my desires from the gate. And it's either you get on my train or, like, there's nothing you can do for me. Like, I am a strong believer of you teach people how to treat you. And if you can't go along with what I need and what's good for me and my desires, then there's nothing that we can talk about any further. Now, I do understand that there's also compromise, but I'm very open and very straight to the point about what it is and what it's not going to be.
Okay.
I'll say, I don't, it's not a matter of, I don't think the lines or the boundaries in the relationship are not being communicated up front. Like, I think for the most part, people do a complete job of communicating what they want, if you know what you want. Some people don't.
Okay.
But when you know what you want, and, you know, just to clarify, you know, my opening statement of it being two people, I'm speaking in terms of a committed relationship when I say two people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming for anyone, you know,
right.
That. I'm speaking in terms of relationships, because, like I said, we have all types of relationships, so that's kind of the lane I'm going to stay in tonight. I think when we do set those expectations up front, sometimes we can set unrealistic expectations for a relationship. And like you said, without communication, you're never going to really get past those expectations. You're going to have one person that has expectations on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person may not have any expectations for the relationship. They could just be on cruise control. So when you don't communicate exactly where you are, like you just said, you're going to run into, you know, you're going to butt heads in the relationship because you're not on the same page. And that's what I mean by two committed people being on the same page of where they are with one another. So I just think sometimes those expectations aren't clearly communicated, but when they are, you also have to, like you said, it depends on who you're dealing with. Some people will communicate their expectations and the other person, you know, won't be, they'll be kind of deceitful in a relationship and they'll say that they're on the same page with you. But then it's like, you keep going in two different directions and then you're gonna bump heads because you'll say, hey, I told you from the get-go, this is where I am and this is what I wanted, but because they're not being honest in their tactics,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not on the same page. So I think, like you said, it's a matter of, you know.
I have experience where two people enter in a relationship and are, you know, you communicate it in the very beginning. And so as time goes on, you both might be entering into something where you're saying, you know, I don't know, I'm really not ready for a committed, not saying that we're going outside dating other people, but we're not looking to be married. Let's just go out, have a good time, go and out to eat, go to a movie, just for companionship. And then as time goes on, one party or the other has grown and has adapted more feelings for the other. And so what happens is well, one person is still on the page of, I don't want anything permanent, but I understand you're saying that you're wanting more, but I don't want to let you go. So I, you know, and that is where a lot of people bump heads. Well, I want more, but I don't want to let you go. So now I'm going to try to manipulate you into staying into what I want you to be versus, you know, okay, let me let you go because that's not what I want. And so now what do you do? Especially when you know the person's a good person, or you're guessing that they're a good person. They possibly could be a good mate for me. Maybe down the line, you know, they'll change their mind. And here you are, what, 5 years later, and you're still on this roller coaster. I'm just using 5 years. Hopefully you don't go that long. But you're still on the roller coaster, you know, this person doesn't want to let you go, or you don't, you know, vice versa. So what I have found is that a lot of times, and I've been in it myself, where it's like, hey, I said that I want something more, leave me alone, because you don't.
So yeah, I want to say, and I'm going to very much so play devil's advocate with some of the stuff, and probably bring up a few things and say a few things that, you know, I'm glad that this is Zoom and we're not in the same room. Let's just put it that way. You know, but with the whole, I want more, but they don't. Is it that they don't, or that there's something from their past preventing them from taking that step? You know, I think that that has to be considered too. It's not always I don't want more. It's just that, you know what? You run a 7-minute mile. I run a 9-minute mile. You're going to get to the finish line before I do. That doesn't mean I'm not trying to finish the race. It just means I'm not running at the same pace as you. And so I think that's got to be something taken into consideration, and that boils back down to communication. But it's not just communicating that fact. It's being able to process, understand, reciprocate the conversation, make sure that, you know, that you truly are on the same page. Because we can both tell each other we like toast, right? We both like toast. We're on the same page. We both like toast. Well, maybe I feel the end piece of the bread is the best piece of the bread. So that's the one I give you every morning when I make breakfast. And so for 5 years, you eating that end piece of bread that I give you, feeling some kind of way because you feel that's the worst part of the bread, the loaf of bread.
Well, that's your fault for eating that bread.
You know, so.
And you did not articulate that bread was not what you wanted.
And that's what I'm saying. We've got to be able to reciprocate the conversation. It's got to be more than just surface. Like, oh, well, do you like bread? Yeah, I like bread. Okay, well, it's got to go further. I like bread, but I can't stand the end piece. You know, we have to fully articulate where it is that we're at. So if you approach me and you're like, well, I'm ready for something more, and I'm like, I want something more, but I just don't know yet, you know, then you guys have to have an honest conversation about, okay, are you willing to continue to work? Or, you know, is it time to maybe move on? Because I don't think one person should have to wait for another person.
Right.
You know, I think it needs to be a mutual decision. But are they truly trying to run towards the finish line, or are they just chilling? You know, there is a difference.
I mean, if somebody tells you that they don't want anything else, I mean, what?
That's different.
I can't give you, I mean, there's no going around. There's nothing blurred about you.
Right.
Or, you know, that's fine. But at the same time, don't try to waste my time and keep me long. That's what you have. What I have experienced, and then what I have had coming into my office, is people being strung along, and it's like, you don't get time back.
Right.
You never get back in time. I can't rewind time and go back. And so when this person has straightforward told you they don't want anything else, stop wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if you got to block them. Look, because what I'm not going to be is something to you to fulfill whatever needs you have while wasting my time. Now, when we take the time to allow them to do that, that goes back to you and what is it on the inside of you that is making you stay somewhere that you already know is not going nowhere.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Amen. Definitely.
I would add to that, first of all, speaking to your devil's advocate there, of course. I think, of course, there are cases where someone can, you know, be wounded or have a past that they haven't healed from, that, you know, there's no perfect relationship. So you're always going to see something that can present itself to look like something familiar that you've dealt with in your past that's been traumatic or been toxic. And you're going to immediately, you know, by nature, put the brakes on the relationship. Does that mean that's a bad person? You know, okay, all that's off. Or like you said, that person just could have some healing to do, and it's a matter of just talking through it, saying, hey, X, Y, and Z, you know, that was a red flag for me because, you know, back then, you know, that was a deal breaker. And you can't, you know, define the new relationship by your past, but at the same time, when God shows you those red flags, you're supposed to pay attention, you know, to those. So, of course, there can be situations where people just need to work through that, those things in their past that could be holding them back. But I'm going to err on the side of what Pastor Brianna was saying, you know. Keyword, if they're being honest enough to tell you where they are, hey, this is going faster than I wanted to, hey, this is, you know, this is getting real beat real quick, and I don't feel like I'm ready. If they're honest with what's going on, most of the time out here in the dating culture of today, people are not being honest.
Mm-hmm.
They're being deceitful in their tactics. So if they're not telling the person they're with, you know, this is not what I want, there's a word for that, and they're still trying to hold on to you, it's called selfish. You know, so in that situation, somebody's being selfish. It's not fair to the person who, hey, I am looking long term. I'm not looking for my time to be wasted. You know, like you just said, what we're not going to do, you know, if you can't reciprocate that same energy in the relationship, then that's a one-sided relationship. And, you know, someone has some decisions to make if that person is not willing to look at self and say, hey, I love this person enough to get it together because I know them, or I love them enough to let them go because I don't know how to
read. Right, and you know, like,
that's when that maturity comes in.
Yeah, like Kendra was saying, she's like, listen, I'm going to tell you I don't like that piece of bread. Like, you know, right. I think that both parties have a responsibility to be that straightforward and that blunt. Like, it might be a difficult conversation. It might be a painful conversation to be like, listen, I'm ready. You're not. That's okay. It is what it is. Let's move on. Or, you know, hey, I was clear about expectations at the beginning. You're not meeting them. We've discussed it. It's not like I'm just saying, you know what, you had your one and done. You messed up. I'm, you know, over it. But, you know, have the conversation and it's just not working. We got to do what we got to do, you know, and like Kendra was saying, being very upfront and honest right at the beginning, this is what I want. This is what I expect. And what we're not going to do is do everything else, you know. So I guess. So there's the typical argument that when a relationship goes south, it's the man's fault.
No.
Hear me out. Let me finish. The man, you generally hear about men cheating. You generally hear about men being emotionally detached. You generally hear about men not being ready to commit. Usually it's geared towards men oftentimes. Now, myself, I'm 40 years old. I have about to be an 18-year-old son who's enlisting in the Marine Corps. Like, I don't need 5+ years to figure out if I want you to be the one. You know, I don't. I'm at that point in my life. Now, when I was 21, 22, I can't say that, you know. But at this point in my life, I know what I want. I know what I expect. And, you know, there's certain things I'm willing to work through and adjust to. And like Kendra said at the beginning, compromise. But then there's other things that, you know, are a no-go. But like I said, a lot of times when you talk about toxicity in a relationship, the receipt goes to the man, so to speak. So what are y'all's thoughts on those types of things? Like as far as the blame game, I guess we'll call it. Kendra, you're awfully quiet.
But not all the time.
I was just letting her finish. It's so much easier to point the finger at someone else.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of people who's going to say, you know what, I was wrong. I messed up. That was my fault. It's just easier to point the blame. And because of the double standards of this particular topic, the world will accept it being more so of the man's fault than the woman. So it's just easier to point the blame. Okay. Now, is it always the man's fault? Of course not. As a woman, we do messed up stuff. We messy too.
Hey, can I record that? Can we say that again? Can
of
I
course.
Like women, you know, want to make sure that it's documented fully?
Yeah, because we are human, and I'm not even gonna say it's a messed up thing. It's just some people in general.
Yeah.
No matter whether you're a man or a woman, you're going to do what you want to do that fits your narrative in that moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the men's fault, and sometimes it's the women's fault. But it's just easier and more accepted to hear that it's the man's fault, so it's just easier to blame.
Okay. So, you know, we mentioned some red flags. I gotta ask this question, not for any other reason other than to be polarizing. I know, I'm terrible. I'm an awful person, horrible person. So, do you think today, now, both parties have the ability and are guilty of cheating on the other? At, you know, as far as, like, I wouldn't say one outdoes the other. It happens in relationships, as unfortunate as it is. But do you think it's more common now than what it used to be for the woman to go outside of the committed relationship? Not that it never happened, not that it doesn't happen, not that it happens more than men, but, you know, as far as comparatively to 20 years ago, is it more common now than what it used to be?
I say yes, because things, of course, back in the day, you know, when our grandmothers, great grandmothers, when they got married at 13, they stayed married until death, you know, to one person. I wouldn't go as far as say that cheating didn't happen back then, but I think it's more common now, and it's more out in the open.
Okay.
Because we just live in a generation now when it comes to just dating and just the world period, where anything goes, anything's okay. So I do think that women are more comfortable doing it now, but I think that comes from a place of, most of the time, because they've been hurt or because someone has betrayed them. Because women are more emotional. You know, we're more, like I said, we're the emotional pieces in the relationship. So if we're giving all of our heart and our time and our energy to a relationship, and then someone betrays us in that area, it's easy, like I always say, men may cheat physically, but women, you know, they cheat with their heart because someone else is fulfilling those emotional places that the relationship they're in is not fulfilled. So I just think it's more common now, and easy for, because women just, you know, we're in a place now where it's like, I have a woman, hear me roar. If you don't do me like that, then, you know, it's on to the next. You know, like,
right.
You know, the Beyonce to the left. I don't want another him, but, you know, I keep but, you know, it's like, I just think it's more common now than back in the day, simply because the world has changed more, and we have more structures back then where that goes.
Okay. Now, cheating, just in general. I probably have a little different view than a lot of men do, as far as cheating's concerned. For me, it's not just physical. That is kind of the end result of already cheating, if that makes sense. If I'm in a committed relationship, an exclusive relationship, and we're clear that it's me and you, you know, I'm not having deep, intimate conversations with other females. I'm not, you know, exactly.
You
better not. And, you know, because I feel like if my significant other is able to have those deep conversations with another man, and she's not, and first of all, she might not even be having them with me, and for me, that's even worse. But if I'm on the same level as these other men in your life, or you have to delete text messages, or you can only talk to them when I'm not around, or, you know, that kind of thing, to me, you've already started the process. You're already letting me know that I'm not really the one for you. You look at, it might not be a sneaky link that you're looking for, but you're looking to have a backup plan. You know, you might have that full-time job, but you got that little part-time on the side, you know, for your play money, you know, so to speak. And so, to me, that's almost worse than a physical aspect, because I think people in general have the ability for physical to strictly just be physical. My body sees your body sees my body, and they both go, yeah, that's what I want, you know. But when there's that emotional or intellectual connection with somebody, and you allow that to foster, and you're supposed to be building it with another person, to me that's worse. And that's just my thoughts on it. You know, you're like, better not. Like, I mean, that's how I feel, you know, as well. So, I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree. I think for me, that's the worst kind of cheating you can ever do, is to be able to connect on an emotional and a spiritual and an intelligent level with somebody else that you're not with. You're supposed to be with me. If we're in a relationship, that means that first of all, our relationship should be based on a friendship. So if we're friends, then you should know my friends. And then you can really look at it two ways. If I'm having to hide my messages from you, is it because you're too insecure to even be able to handle my relationships with my male friends? That's one way. Another way is, are you someone that I can't have these conversations with? And if that is the case, then I need to evaluate the relationship. Because how fair is it to you that I can't speak to you on this level, but yet I want to be with you? You never know. How can I ever disclose my inner deep thoughts to you if I don't feel you can handle it, or you are even understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
That's an argument waiting to happen all the time. We're going to constantly bump heads. And so, to me, that's the worst. That's just me. That's the worst kind of cheating. If you want to see me go off, let me find out you having conversations with somebody on a whole nother level that you're not having with me. You're not gonna catch Pastor Brianna. You're gonna catch Bree.
Oh God.
She said, "I'm from the kingdom, but I'm from the west side of the kingdom."
Right.
Try Jesus, don't try me. You catch these hands.
Well, I guess I'm just different because either way is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one is worse than the other, because either way I'm slighted, either way I'm feeling some type of way, either way I'm disrespected, either way. So you can't justify either way for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my hard no's. I can forgive a lot of things.
Right.
But I can never, let's not say never, I can't forgive cheating, and that's in both ways, physical and intellectual.
I
can't let that go. So if you touch her hand, it's just as bad as you talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because if I have a problem with sharing, I don't want to share anything. So if I have to share you in any capacity, then you ain't for me, period. It ain't nothing we could talk about.
Now, are you saying, just for my own clarification, I guess, that your significant other can't have female friends, or that
I am no way am I insecure.
Okay.
Opposite friendships of the opposite sex is actually helpful if it's healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a female friend, but if there's boundaries and disrespect, then go for it. I'll follow me.
Okay, that's what I was. Yeah, I was trying to get to.
If it's an issue of you guys are like pushing limits and you're crossing the line and you flirting with the line back and forth, teeter-totter, Houston.
Oh, but I'm a Libra. That's what Libras do. We're just flirtatious. We're just...
No.
Exactly.
There's a thing of self-control. You have to control yourself.
Exactly.
In any dynamic, you have to. You go to work, you ain't going to work cutting up, but you have control. When you go to church, you ain't going to church in the sanctuary cutting up because you have control. If you're in a relationship with Kendra, you have to control yourself. And if you can't, then you need to, let Kendra go so that you can go do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Susie will be okay with that.
Right.
But I'm not.
Right.
I can't go with it.
Right. Shanika said, she said you should be emotionally available before trying to pursue a relationship. And I think that's definitely important, because that's going to prevent some of these emotional, intellectual type cheating. Like, you're not going to be seeking so many different outlets and avenues to, I don't even want to use the word fulfill, because I don't think it's fulfillment. I think it's a level of immediate satisfaction. You know, you're looking for an immediate response. You want to feel a certain way, and that particular person that day made you feel that way. It's like, oh, I got a work husband, I got a work wife, I got it. No, you don't. Nah.
Right.
Mm-mm. Why you need a work husband? You got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and me. Why you need a work husband? you know. But no, and I mean, in all seriousness, it's like you said, it's a matter of being secure with yourself and the relationship and just establishing boundaries. You know, if I'm with somebody, I'm not going to be having other females texting or calling me all hours of the night or crazy early in the morning. And I'm not going to have people that are close to me that my significant other doesn't get, at number one, at least know about. Because the opportunity for you to physically meet them might not be there, but you're going to know about them. And when you have the opportunity to meet them, I'm going to introduce you to them. Because I don't want you to feel slighted. I don't want you to feel disrespected because you are important to me. And I think it's important to, again, it goes back to that, what do you want? You know, being very clear, very, very direct about what it is that you want. And some people, like you guys have said, some people just want to kind of date. But dating for people means different things. You know, like I've never been the kind of person where I date multiple people at the same time. I just don't. I focus on one person that's caught my interest. Number one, it's too exhausting to try to learn multiple people at the same time for me to truly get to know people. But some people, they like to be actively going out on dates with various people, multiple people, until they figure out, hey, this is the one I want to focus on. I don't necessarily think one is right or wrong, but I think you need to be clear about what your version of dating is with the person that you're seeing and talking to.
I agree. I've always been kind of a one person type of, you know, one-on-one relationship. Never been the type of, because I'm very family oriented, and when you have kids, you know, mm-hmm. that just doesn't fly well. But I will say, the older I get out here dating, and it has actually been, I've actually had counsel tell me that I should date multiple people. Simply because I have that type of heart that when I'm in, and that's usually when I get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of seen both sides of the coin, mm-hmm. that, you know, so to speak, and I think you have to do what's best for you.
Yeah.
And when I'm saying dating multiple people, you know, it's just, you know, I just learned, now I'm about to tell my age, but I just learned what the term sneaky linking even means. So we're not talking about that. So I have grown kids. So I was like, wait, what does that mean? So it's like, Mom, don't tell anybody, you don't know what that means. I'm like, no, I didn't know what that means. But so I was saying in terms of, you know, hey, going, hanging out, dinner, you know, what have you. But again, you know, that has to be established in a relationship with someone. But I tend to run into the spectrum of things. And I'll say, like, the people that say they know what they want, but then once you start getting into the thick of it, it's kind of like I said, that word I used earlier, it's called selfish. Don't hold people hostage. If you're not ready, you're just not ready. You
right.
know what I'm saying? But you don't get to hold someone else's future up because you don't know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
When that person has, you know, they're in a place in their life where he says, I'm not about out here dating and playing around and playing games, and everybody's just about the game, like, you know, some people know what they want. Some people are established, and they're like, hey, I've been there, I've done that. I'm in the second part of my life. I don't have the time to play, you know, games like that. So I think when you know and you put that out there and then you have someone just, you know, play with you and be dishonest, that's not fair. And I'm kind of, you know, I do see that people can be insecure, but I'm with Kendra on this one. Like, And as well as you said, if you're totally committed to someone, you're not going to allow certain things in your relationship. So I'm even good with my significant other having female friends.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, we should all be friends. I think I have a problem when you start making new friends when we're in a committed relationship.
Start making new friends, is that what you said?
You're making new friends. And it's like, no, this one was your friend. You know, not allowed
to meet no more women.
Now, you know, now it's kind of like, hold up, players, like, wait, you know, we giving out phone numbers, we doing that, you know, because at that point, what do you have to talk to this person about that you can't talk to your significant other?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that's when it comes into play of not so much being insecure, but just the respect and the relationship with those boundaries. Now, I mean, you know, know, that if neither party has a problem with it and we just making new friends and we all friends, that's one thing. But making new friends on the side that doesn't know you're in a relationship or doesn't have a relationship with who you're with, I think that presents that's going to be a problem. It just hasn't happened yet. You know, especially if that other person doesn't respect that you're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a problem.
Okay.
What about when your significant other happens to have a job where they have to communicate with other females? You know, there has to be phone calls. There has to be communication. Now, I have encountered that, you know, and my problem is, and excuse me, but sometimes men just don't think. And so here it is, you're supposed to be doing this work assignment, but yet she's crossing the line. Now you know about her boyfriend who is not, or her husband who isn't treating her right. Well, I don't think you need to know that. That's too much information, baby. And now she wants to call you at 9. No phone calls after 9. She needs to call you during work hours. And you know, he's just, well, you know, she's having a hard time. Well, she needs a counselor. And I happen to be one. So you can have her to call me. But I think that a lot of times what happens is that women think that they're so sneaky, you know, and they think the grass is greener on the other side. So what they think is they can be slick and slide on into your grass. And I think it works the opposite way too. Women sometimes, you know, we got to do this together. And then the man is like, no, but babe, you know, especially if you're working third shift, you know, things like that. If you're not careful, boundaries can be crossed so easily. Now you all in their business, they're all in your business. And it's like, wait a minute, this is too much information.
And you know, sometimes it's... Yeah, sometimes it's, I want to say it's almost easy to slide into that when you start talking about work, because you're around those same people 40 plus hours a week generally. Most of the time, you are with the people you work with as far as actively engaging in some type of conversation more hours a week than you are your own family, you know. And so if you're not careful, it can definitely slide into that. And, you know, I mean, I may spend more hours with my family, but some of those hours are sleeping. Some of those hours are, you know, cleaning up around the house, doing laundry, cooking dinner. You know, it's not that actively engaged conversation. So I think you're right. You have to be mindful of it. Now, I'm gonna ask a foolish question. Like I said, I enjoy these. And I'm on Zoom, so I don't have to worry about getting hit with anything. Who sneaks better, men or women?
Women.
Okay.
Women.
Okay. Now, you know, it's funny to me because, well, I feel like, I think it's funny because a lot of times men get accused of being, you know, emotionally detached and they just want the physical, but it's usually the dude that ends up catching feelings. And because he's catching feelings, he ends up slipping and exposing himself. And I'm not an advocate of cheating, so please, those of you that are watching, don't think that. I just, you know, trying to be very candid about the conversation. But women seem to be able to very easily disconnect. Like, I'll focus on you from this time to this time, and then after that, you don't exist. And you know, unless you're marked, you know, you're penciled in on my schedule, you don't exist. I don't care if you're the sneaky link, the sugar daddy, I don't care what you are. From this hour to this hour, you know, you exist. After that, you don't exist. Don't call me. Don't Facebook me. Don't DM me on Instagram. Nothing. Just stop. And where men are like, yo, why she ain't paying attention to me? Yo, I text her. Why she ain't texting me back? Like, and they get emotionally invested in what they shouldn't be invested in.
When a woman does that to you, she does not like you. She's not invested in you, because if I'm interested in you and I want more with you, there's no cutoff time. There's no way that I'm going to distance myself away from you if I want more from you. But that is a clear sign. I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but it's too late now. That is a clear sign that you ain't it. So when a woman starts to do that to you, it is in your best interest to leave her alone, because when she wants more and she's involved and she's invested and desires you, no, that ain't happening.
Okay.
I agree and disagree to the fact of, I don't think, not, she's right about if a woman is not paying no attention at all. But I think in the terms of a relationship, once it gets to that point with a woman, it's because she's put up the church finger. She's completely checked out. It's like, yeah. You know, she's at the point where she, you know, that's a true statement. When a woman's fed up, she's fed up. And I think it's easy for a woman to get to that flip the switch point where I'm going to be me when she's being mishandled in a relationship. Because, like Kim said, in the beginning, like, if we're feeling each other, like, yeah, I'm not going to say I want you in my face all the time, because we need time apart, but I'm going to enjoy my time with you. But if it gets to that point where, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're clicking up, you know, and stuff, and it's becoming a habit, and it's becoming a normal thing, then I'm going to reach a shutdown, because I shut down. Like, I'll shut down emotionally, and then it's just like, okay, I'm going to do something different because I'm going to protect my peace at all costs, even if that means, like you said, totally blocking you out for whatever reason or whatever time. So I think once it gets to that point, it's because that woman has emotionally shut down that man for whatever reason, for whatever has transpired up until that point.
What?
Because before then, she's feeling.
I'm also talking about the like I said that side piece, that sneaky link, you know, that's the guy that she's compartmentalizing, that she's only available for at certain times. And
I'll say this, I'm trying to keep myself from giving away, like I said, the women's secrets. We have code too, you know. Y'all have code. Y'all like to talk about certain things. We got code too. No, I just think for women, we're naturally nurturing multitaskers, and we're good at it. And I think we can multitask well when it comes to that. And I think we are more detailed and we're smarter because we're thinkers. Not to say that you men are dumb. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that y'all are not intelligent. But like Pastor Dylan just said, some men, I'm going to give it to y'all for the brothers. A lot of stuff moves y'all here. Like, even if when you, it can be a brother that ain't even interested. Not interested in a woman, but that co-worker. But because he's so friendly, and you know she's being flirtatious, but he's supposed to be being friendly and green to the fact of, okay, I don't know, she's coming for me. You know what I mean? She's checking for me. And it could just go for me. But then you have some brothers that they are really trying to, you know, they're that play, they're player.
Trying to capitalize on the situation. So
and that's how they operate, and they just don't. Like, women, you know, when we get to that point where we're going to do it, we're supposed to do it. Yeah, you won't know
nothing. Okay.
But these are
kind of
different. Y'all
kind of
leave yourself open.
Well, you know, I'll say this. You know, as far as men being naive, and I'm going to, this is a rather embarrassing story. So I don't know, maybe I'll accidentally delete the video after the fact. But I'm one of these men that are clueless. Like, I am absolutely clueless, honestly. Like, you know, Brianna was talking about, you know, they might not even realize it, you know, whatever. You know, the person's just talking about this and that and work and they like them and whatnot. So, you know, there was someone that I had met, you know, a while back, and her and I were hanging out all the time and, you know, just really, really cool person. But I thought she was into a friend of mine. And I remember one night we were hanging out and we were talking. And to shorten the story, you know, I was like, I said, well, you need to put me on one of your friends. You know, why don't you introduce me to your people? And she's like, why? I was like, because birds of a feather, man. I mean, you got to hang out with people that are like you. Like, and I'm really feeling you. You know, I'd be really cool to meet somebody like you. And she's like, yeah, you're right. You need to get with a vet like me. And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, put me on one of your people. She's like, are you really that stupid? And I was like, I guess, because I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, me, I like you. I'm trying to date you. I was like, oh, okay. Like, so, you know, it might not be all men, but this one, I'm clueless a lot of times. But, you know, I'm also the kind of guy, I tend to be a little more emotional than other men. And I guess kind of my next question would be, you know, is the type of guy that is more for, in your opinion, for you, your perspective, more of the what's the word I'm looking at? The stoic, kind of emotionally detached, like, whatever, you don't want to talk to me, fine, you know, I ain't worried about it, you know, not really wanting to do some of the things you want to do, or the guy that's willing to go, when you go get your nails done, willing to go sit and chill with you if you're going, you know, if nobody else is there, you want some company. You know, he's willing to sit there with you. He's willing to watch your shows with you. He's willing to, you know, go to the different show or to this or the that with you without, you know, the hem, the haw, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, which is the preference, or is there not a preference? It just depends on the person.
The detached, you know, whatever, do you, I don't, you know, I'm not interested in that. That doesn't work with me very well, because when I'm with somebody, I'm totally invested into whatever they care about, whether it's family, whether it's their business, whether, you know, it's their dreams and goals. I care about what they care about. So, yeah, I need that reciprocated. I need them to care about what I care about. And if it's just a matter of, you don't do opera and you don't do classical, but I, you know, you don't do plays, but Hamilton's coming to town, and I want to know. Yeah.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes.
You know, I want to go. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear, oh, I'm not, maybe I'm not into that. I'm going to into that, like you're into it, and enjoy it while I'm there, you know?
But are you going to reciprocate? Are you going to go to what he wants to do? I mean, within
absolutely.
Reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I think in a relationship, we should care about what each other care about. I think that's part of being in a relationship. We're always going to have different interests. But if you love a person, you are interested in what they are interested in. And so if that's sitting next to her while she's getting her nails done, I personally wouldn't drag anybody to the nails done with me. I wouldn't do that. Unless we were going to get, you know, a couple mani-pedis or something. You know,
right, right.
Cool now. You know, couples do that. That's the thing. But, you know, I feel like that, yeah, give me the option, you know, even if you don't want to go, at least say, they want me to go. You know, let me tell you.
Right, well, because, yeah, you might want to get away from me. Like, maybe I just been up under you too long. You need your time. Like, that's okay,
right.
Too. It's okay to need your time. Because I ain't going to watch Love and Hip Hop all the time. I'm not going to watch all these Tyler Perry shows all the time. I'm not going to go to Hamilton all the time. I'll go to you once, but if you want to go to it three times in a week, you better go with some friends the other two times. I'm going to go with you the one time. But, you know, like, and I mean, I say a lot of that jokingly or facetiously, but I think it's important to be interested in what your significant other is interested in. Take the time to, you know, you don't have to be as passionate about it as they are, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. But if it's important to them, on some level, it should be important to you. You know, yeah.
I need the person in the middle.
Okay.
I do not want you under me 24/7. Like, I really want to breathe sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to love on you, yes. But I also want to be able to just go and just get some me time without feeling guilty about it.
Okay.
Without feeling as if I'm neglecting you or I just want time away from you. And I don't want, I want the man who's good with communication, but I don't want the one who's crying and sobbing with the, I don't want you to outcry me.
No ugly cries?
No. Please.
Come on. No ugly cries.
I mean, crying is okay, because men, what society has taught men, that you're a man, toughen up. And I think
right.
It's so unfair.
It is.
So you guys have got the idea or the notion of when you're showing your feelings and you're vulnerable that you're weak, and I think it's the complete opposite. But I do believe that there are levels to it, and I never want to see a man on the floor crying like a woman would. It's like, it's a double standard. It's not necessarily fair, but it's just, I want you under me all the time.
Okay.
I really need you to back up. Do I want you to go with me to get my nails done? If you're not getting your pedi with me, then you can just stay home and watch the game. I'll be back.
I can't do a pedi. You ain't touching my feet. Ain't nobody touching my feet. Not now, never. Never. Couples massages, I'm down with that. Getting a manicure, I'm down with that. A facial, I could do that. Pedi, nah, you ain't touching my feet.
Mm. Why?
Because I'm ticklish.
Oh.
And I think feet are ugly.
I thought you was going to say something.
That's the whole point of going. If you have ugly feet,
really. Nah, my toes been broken so many times. It's ridiculous.
How do you break toes?
Martial arts.
That's I thought it was going to be a military thing.
So, now I know in the Christian church, at least, in a lot of the charismatic circles, Pentecostal circles, my focus should be the spiritual connection. It should be that calling, that equally yoked, that I was blessed to have some pastors and mentors in my life that also pointed out various things in the Book of Psalms and Song of Solomon, not to neglect a level of physical attraction. How important do you ladies believe physical attraction is in establishing and building a relationship? Honestly.
I believe that it, for me, it's kind of medium. Because you can be the best looking thing, but your conversation makes you ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be someone that's not as attractive, but the more we talk, it's like you become very attractive. So to me, I need to be able to look at you and want to look at you. And I wanted to say something about what you were saying about some of your victories and things. I love Jesus with all my heart. But when I get married, we're not gonna sit around talking about Jesus talking. We're just not gonna do it. I wanna go dance and take me dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I like music. You know, I like to have a good time. Jesus didn't just come for me to sit around.
That makes some sense. I'll speak to that. There is a book that the singles ministry we're reading at my church called it's written by Dr. R.A. Vernon. It's called The Sitting Room for Dating. And when we first started reading that book, rule number one was physical attraction. Rule number two is they must be saved. And I was like, what's in that rule number one? Because, you know, you instantly, when you're a believer, you know, you don't want to be unequally yoked, but you instantly don't think about, okay, well, are they saved? But when you get into reading the book, one of the points he made was, he said exactly what you just said. I have to be able to listen to for years, like long term.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's saying he told a story. When I saw my wife, I didn't see her mind first. I saw her first. So physical attraction is definitely important because, we got to be able to look at the person that we're with. And of course, you want the conversation to be right, and you want them to have, a brain in their head and a heart. You know, we don't want to do the Wizard of Oz thing. You're missing a heart, you're missing courage, and you're missing a brain. You know, we want you to have all that, but we got to be able to look at you. So I would say, yes, that's important. I think in terms of, and I'm not, going to get all off in deep into what I'm about to say, referring to the church. I think the church, though we mean well, and we try to stick to the old standards of, like you said, how it used to be in the day, that we live in a different day and time. You know, people aren't wearing potato sacks down to their ankles, and, people are getting, arranged marriages, at least not, in this country. Where
she says she want to walk around being able to slay.
Right, But, the times have changed, it's not like it was back when our great-grandmothers, and you had the mothers in the church with the big hats and, and all of that. It's not that day and time. And just like we have to change to even reach people in this day and time of reaching people where they are, because, especially with young people, they're not moved by the old traditional ways. We can't even reach them with that anymore. So same goes in relationships. I think the church means well, but, you have to meet people where they are. And a lot of times, we're pushed into the wrong relationships by trying to do the right thing. That makes sense.
I think that's fair.
Because mm-hmm. because of the church, sometimes it's we're being pushed to get married if you're past a certain age and you're not married or you don't have kids, because this is how it's supposed to be. But if life didn't deal you those cards, that's just not God's plan for you in that matter. It's not to say it will never happen, but we have to learn to be more in tune to what God has for us and not let and there be push us into things that we should be in simply because this is the way we've always done it.
I think that's good what you said, because I have heard throughout the years when a woman reaches a certain age, if she's not married, a lot of men say, well, something must be wrong with her. there's nothing wrong with a woman who has standards. Oh, well, you don't want, no, she has standards. And because the standards are not presented in this particular ministry, you know, does not mean that she, something is wrong with her. And perhaps there's something wrong with you. And so there's nothing wrong. I would rather wait on God to give me his best than take the trash, and then whatever years down the road, either continue to be miserable because divorce is not an option, or to end up in divorce. When if I just would have waited, I could have had a beautiful marriage. But I would rather wait than just take something because, like you said, people's opinions are just that opinion.
Right. So... So Russell had said, Jesus don't want me to talk about him all day either. And then D Brownie says, if the preview of the movie is not good to me, I'm not watching the movie. Now, I'll say this. This last weekend, I got suckered into a movie because of the preview. Went to go watch a movie, not an analogy here, literal movie. The preview was great. I go to the movie. Movie was trash. It was terrible. The best parts of the movie were
the best part.
Yeah, the previews had the best parts of the movie. And I think sometimes if we value that physical attraction over every other aspect, if we put more importance to the physical attraction, we allow the preview to trick us into thinking the movie's going to be a good movie. If that makes sense. And so I think it's there's a lot to pay attention to. You know, I'm, you know, 40 years old. Like I said at the beginning, I got a son about to turn 18. You know, do I want to spend my days alone? Of course not. You know, never. That's not it. You know, and so but society is like you said, if, you know, oh, they're 40, they got kids, they're this, they're that, they're not, you know, and so. I had previously, I found it difficult to meet people because I was that, 40-year-old divorcee with a kid. You know, it was difficult to meet people. And so when you do meet that person and they do, like, just acknowledge you for you and they care about you and your child, because I think that one thing when you're talking about dating an individual that has kids, number one, you have to realize that until you're at the point where you say I do, that child emphatically comes first. They do. But if I'm dating someone who has a child, their child has to be just important to me as my child is to me. Because if I'm saying that I love you and want to spend my life with you, why am I not valuing your most important and precious part of your life the same way? Like, I've got to be able to do that. And for me, anyway, that's how I view it. And so a big thing for me when I was going through that process and prior to meeting people, you have to, how do they respond when I talk about my son? How do they respond when I'm excited about what he's doing or when I'm upset about what he's going through? Or how do they respond? And, you know, I think that, like Dee says, part of the package deal, Russell says, I bet it was Jungle Cruise. No, it was A Green Knight, actually. It was a trash movie. I was so mad, but I'm bitter about it. I'm really bitter about it. I think it is like that. Now, would you say that the dating scene is, like, you see the different memes and stuff, and it's like, oh, they talk about plenty of fish in the sea, but then the meme has, like, the nastiest, ugliest looking fish in the world talking about this is the fish that are in the sea. How do you guys feel the dating scene is? I mean, are there... Did somebody pee in a swimming pool, or is the dating pool clean?
It's challenging out here, especially when you're 40 plus and you're, you know, like you said, you've been divorced and you found yourself in, you know, the second half of life and you're, you know, you're single. You don't have a lot of tolerance for things. You're past the point of playing games. You've been there, done that, you know, and you kind of, you're settled in life and kind of just know what you want. So, you know, It is difficult out here. It's a little hard. And I think it's because of the culture. You know, we, like I said, anything goes in the culture of dating has changed so much. And if you've been raised with the old school values, you're only
you're not gonna be into everything. You're not gonna accept everything because you're holding on to those old school values. Even though we may be open to doing new things, like Brianna said, yeah, I want to go out and dance and I want to have a good time and I don't want you to treat me like I'm a nun because I love Jesus. You know, we're not doing that. But at the same time, there's gonna be some boundaries. I think with anything, you have to have boundaries. You know, with anything, and like everything we talked about tonight, you do have to kind of have balance and see both sides of the coin. But when it comes to certain things and values, there's certain things that you're just not gonna budge on because it's who you are. You know, and so I think, you know, we have to be kind of open minded now, because the world has changed so much. But, you know, I believe, you know, I still believe in the knight in shining armor and chivalry isn't dead, and you're gonna open my door and you're gonna pull out my chair and, you know, you're gonna respect me. I believe in those old school values. Those things, that's not old time, old folks stuff to me. That kept marriages together for 75 years plus, built off of those types of values. So I still believe in that.
Okay.
The flip side of that is everybody doesn't believe that way, you know, in this day and time, which makes dating difficult. But I feel like there's still good brothers out there that believe that way. There are still sisters out there that believe that way. And it's just a matter of you have to watch what pool you're fishing in, so to speak. And if you fishing in the swamp, you might pull out Shrek, you know what I'm just saying? Mm-hmm. You gotta know what pond you're fishing in. That's all. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's just knowing what you want.
I think.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I've been talking more to you. Your turn.
I believe that it is. I don't want to say trash, but it's just a lot of people who really just don't have standards.
Okay.
You come along, you have your standards. You are looked at or labeled as. Better. I can give an example here. I had an older man who had tried to talk to me, and I said, okay, that's fine. And I did let him know in the beginning I'm a pastor. And so we would converse here and there. We exchanged information, and he started the whole texting thing, which began, I can tell you now, that irritates me. I can't stand it. Stop texting me. Give me a phone call so you can go ahead and get it all out, because I'm busy. I don't have time to stop and try to decipher your text messages, especially when that's a whole nother subject. So, you know, but here it is. All you can say to me is, you know, I feel a connection. This is so corny. So I feel a connection. What kind of connection are you meaning? I think you're very beautiful. You're 70. And all you have for me is that I'm beautiful. So this is the connection. I need you to elaborate on what you mean. Well, what you're really saying, well, I would like, and then he goes into, it's 9 o'clock at night. Well, I would love to come over and talk to you. You would not love to come to my house to talk to me.
I mean, he would like to start a conversation.
Right. Right. And so now I have to break it down to you, but now I'm ugly. No, I'm not being ugly. No, I'm not. You were ugly when you thought you were going to come to my house at 9 o'clock at night.
Not a Netflix and chill.
Let me tell you something. But, you know, this is the type of thing or type of people that I have encountered. And I had to go to God and say, God, am I presenting myself in such a way that I'm attracting this? Because that is definitely not what we're doing. When I was in the world, that is not what I wanted. You know, and so when I hate to say trash, but it's just so many people that want to go to, and that's in the church. You find it more in the church. Men want to get in your pants. Oh, I just want to be right with your sister. But where you want to lay your hands at, though, when you pray?
I used to tell my pastor when I was a kid, when I was younger, I used to tell him that I believed I was called to minister to single women of a particular persuasion between the ages of 21 and 35, and it was a ministry of laying on of hands. I can't tell you how many times he kicked me out of his office. I thought it was funny. I thought it was a cute little joke. He didn't find it funny. But I think I don't know. It's definitely definitely interesting. Kendra, what were you gonna say about the topic?
The dating pool. I don't even know about the dating pool because I'm always home.
Oh, you waiting for your soulmate to break in and introduce themselves?
Right. Like,
oh, okay. Like, okay.
Amazon delivery guy, like, it's gonna be the mailman, because I don't want to go out dancing, I don't want to do that, that's not fun for me, I'm home, I enjoy being home, so I don't even know how I'm ever going to get the husband that I want, because I'm never out, I'm always home.
You don't have to be the Amazon.
So yes, the Amazon girl. Driver.
And I'm going to have to say hello through the ring.
You know, it's interesting though that you say that, because you know I'm at an age, even when I was younger, it really wasn't my thing, but I did it because everybody else did it, so why not? You know, just kind of hanging out with people. But you know, definitely I'm the family type. I want to come home. I want to spend time with my family. I want to be in the house. I don't want to be out in a club with these young kids. I don't, you know, like that's not me. I want something more. And, you know, I mean, ain't no sunshine when she's gone, but, you know, I need something more than let me just go out and play. You know, I need some kind of substance.
But how do you even get to that if you're always home? Like,
that's a very good question.
Somewhere. That's my struggle. Like, I don't know about the dating pool, because, and then when I am out, it's like, I've been told I have RBF. So it's like no one says anything to me, so I'm like, I'm not dating. RBF.
For the old lady.
I'll let you explain it, Kendra.
Resting bee face.
I have
a natural.
That's what they call it? Oh, okay.
It's RBF, and it's natural. I'm not mad. I do not have an attitude. I'm actually pleasant. I just don't. I just have a look of.
It's
uncomfortable. Right. So don't look at me. I'm not dating. Yeah. Like, okay. What's dating? What's that? Like, I just want to go home and
play
my game. Like, you know, pray for me. But so,
where
do you meet said husband if you're always home?
Well, I definitely think that there are, while I'm not one that necessarily, I don't believe social media is a negative or a positive in reference to relationships. I believe it's how people approach it. And what people use it for can be a positive or a negative in a relationship. I do think that, you know, social media creates a very easy opportunity to talk to people, you know, so you can be sneaky with it, or you can be, you know, just, you know, whatever. You just use it to use it. You know, I will say that, you know, there is the possibility of meeting people that way, you know, the different dating sites or, you know, different groups or sparking up conversations or, you know, that type of thing. And it can ultimately be a beautiful thing. It can also lead you to a bunch of individuals that claim to have a ministry of laying on of hands and, you know, and that use it for that regard. So, but I will ask this, and I guess at farmersonly.com. D, you are you're Mr. D Brown gonna be banned here in a minute. Farmers.com, and then Jen Young says Christian Mingle. But I do think, you know, all jokes aside, I do think that, you know, people do use those sites for valid reasons, and whether it's because their lifestyle just doesn't. They don't go out. They don't, you know, get involved in what's going on. They like to be home. They like to, you know, that time. It's a benefit for them, regardless of if it is farmersonly.com. But then again, you know, you almost have to decipher through so much bad to find the good. Is it worth it? You know, for some people. And for some people, right. Yeah, you're shaking your head. No, for some people, it's not. Now, I have a little different perspective on this, and I guess it's because of my time in the military, and I've experienced both the positive and the negative of a long-distance relationship, but a yes or no, long-distance relationships, do they work? Can they work?
No.
No?
Not for me.
Okay.
However, I've
been put in situations recently where I've had to do the long distance thing. And I think even you have two people that, again, are on the same page, it can work. So I won't say I'm totally against it. I think it can. But it's work. It's work. But I think with any relationship, you can have somebody that's right here, you know, in the same city with you, that's in your face all the time, or you have access to them like that all the time, and it still be work. So I think it's, I mean, I would prefer someone that was in the same city that I could have access to, but absence does make the heart grow fonder. So when you are away from a person, I think you tend to, you appreciate them more when you're with them. So okay. I think it can work. I won't say they don't work, but, you know, it's going to take work.
Okay.
It takes work.
What's that, you, Brianna?
No
right. Ain't doing that.
So Russell says not long term. They can't, and I think I kind of agree with that. I don't think there's necessarily. I don't think it's a 100% flat out no. I think it depends on the two people. It takes an extreme amount of trust. I think it takes much more trust than if we live in the same city. But it can't be like, there has to be an end game. There has to be an end goal. You know, it can't just be indefinitely. We're just going to do this thing long distance until eventually something works out. Like, even if we live in the same city, we ain't doing this dating thing forever. Not with me. Like, it just ain't happening. You know, but, we've been on here for a while, and, I didn't really expect to take so much of your guys' time. I apologize. We just kept talking. I wasn't paying attention to the clock. Any final thoughts or any other topics you want to hit real quick before we wrap it up?
You are asking the questions, so go ahead with that. I'm good.
All right. What would be, if you could give individuals what you feel is like a major red flag to look out for, or even a green flag, even a good quality to look out for, what would you say?
Lying is the red flag. Red flag, and consistency is the green flag.
Okay.
That's hard. Honesty is definitely a green flag. Somebody's just honest with you. Keep it real. Red flag. I would say deflection and characteristics of being a narcissist.
Okay.
Narcissistic characteristics. And that can be a lot of things, but it all points in that direction. I would say anything pointing in that direction.
Okay.
I want to say first of all, you got to make sure that you're ready for a relationship.
Okay.
First of all, make sure you're ready. Make sure you don't have no baggage. Make sure you're healed from whatever you've been through. That's one. Then you can start looking for a red flag. Because sometimes red flags to a person who is unhealthy are not red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're whole and you're healthy, then I'm going to say for every woman, we have an intuition. Don't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Never ignore your intuition, because it will never lie to you. Those are your red flags. When you choose to go, when your spirit is saying,
That is the truth. That's the whole sermon.
Don't go and tell nobody. He didn't know, baby. You knew in the beginning. You saw it. You felt it. And you chose to run past go. And now you want to go and say he's so bad. No, he's the same person that he was 6 months ago when you first discovered who he was.
I think, too.
People will truly show you who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we look past it because we want to make people who we want them to be. But they show you who they are. And that red flag, you pass it, and then you be mad at yourself and want to blame him for having a red flag that you ignored. Girl, you're going to sit down somewhere. Yeah.
I had a conversation with, I think he's still watching, with Ty. He and I have had conversations in the past. We've talked about individuals. Like, you can't get mad at a snake for being a snake. Like, if you know they're a snake, you can't get mad that they're a snake, that they do things that snakes do. You know, and like if I know you're a thief, if I know historically you steal stuff, and I bring you into my home, and I put you in a situation where you can rob me blind, I really can't get mad at you for robbing me blind, because I know that's who you are. You know, and I think to your point, yeah, when you first see things, I think it's one thing to see something, not address it, pretend it's not there. I think it's another thing to see it and address it. But I think all of us individual, we have, as individuals, we have certain things that are just absolute deal breakers. Like, it's just, it's not, and it's okay to have those, and it's okay for those to be different than other people's deal breakers.
Right.
You know, when I meet somebody, and, you know, obviously if I start talking to my people about this person, I'm into this person. But I'm not going to let their opinion or perspective of that individual dictate whether or not I stay or go. I'm going to allow my personal experience, and like Brianna was saying, you know, that intuition, that gut feeling, that, you know, like, you just, when your spirit's telling you something's off, something's off. You know, I had a friend of mine, she always talking about her spirit disturbed. I can't watch this, it bothers my spirit. I can't do this, it bothers my spirit. And we joke about it, but it's the reality of it. You have to know you. Like you said, are you ready for the relationship? Do you know what you want? Like we started talking at the beginning, Kendra, you were like, I know what I want. I'm clear from the beginning. It is what it is. And like those types of things, I think it's important that we approach relationships like that, whether it be dating, whether it be long term, and understanding that just because you're not the person for me doesn't make you a bad person, you know, necessarily. You're just not for me. Or you might be a bad person. Get away from me. Like, either way, it's okay. But we have to be able to recognize both of those. Do I stay or do I go? Do I hold them or fold them? You know.
And I think with that, it is finding that balance to know, like you said, when to hold them and when to fold them. Because a lot of times I don't think it's just us going past red flags. You can just can see the potential in a relationship and a person, and you just really, you can be invested, and it's more of a, I see these things, but, you know, I'm not perfect either, so I'm going to proceed with caution. And then sometimes that proceeding with caution just gets you more and more invested until you're plugged in.
Have you ever...
I think that's called women have a thing wanting to be a rehab. I'm not your rehab. I'm not your rehabilitation center. I'm not your treatment place. And we have for so long, it's like embedded in us whether we want to believe. Now, some women, it's not, but some women, it's just so much stronger. And it's like, oh, I can see, baby, I can see a lot. Mm. But you're taking too much of me. And every time we do that, women, we lose who we are. We find ourselves starting over, I gotta find who I am. We shouldn't be finding who we are at 50 because we don't let man take us down a road that we didn't have to go down because we want to be something that we're not equipped.
Now, I agree. I'm not talking about being fixers, because women, we can't do the thing where we're fixers, and sometimes we're fixers and not even realize we're fixers. That was one thing I had to learn about me, because I'm always trying to look at the best in a person or find that silver lining. Or, you know, give a person the benefit of a doubt, because we all have a past. Everybody has a story. So my thing is, I don't want to ever just throw away a person just because they have a story or they're broken. Because so, it may not be for a relationship. It may be just for me to minister to that person. So I'm not talking about fixing people, but I'm saying a lot of times, but sometimes we can just throw away a good friendship or a good relationship because the first red flag we see, we're like, whoop, nope, time to go. And it could, you know, and that could be something where you could have, that's a good person, you could have worked through that situation, so it's more or less of a, and I'm going to proceed with caution because I feel like, you know, this is something that I can work through.
So
that's not then a red flag at that point, that's more yellow.
Yeah, I would
because
say, yeah.
When it's red, you're not going further, you're not even interested in giving people the benefit of the doubt. Working on your potential and your, which you may be, because red is red. Red means stop.
So I'll ask this question.
You're talking more yellow.
Why I said you have to know the difference, because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we blur those lines and we throw away people based off of, like Rihanna said, okay, I could have something in my past that maybe I haven't totally healed from, and because I'm dealing with this type of situation, it presents itself. That doesn't
doesn't necessarily mean that that person is somebody I need to throw away. That could just mean that God is showing me, okay, this is still a tender area for me, and it's something I need to work on, and this particular situation can help me get past it. But sometimes we throw away good relationships based off of stuff that we still need to heal from.
So I think that... Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with being able to communicate about that. That's at that point, like Hendra's saying, you know, it's a yellow flag. I'm going to have that conversation. I think if you don't even have a conversation about it, you allow it to become a red flag. You know, and at that point, like she said, red flags, I mean, it's done. I'm not trying to work with you. I'm not trying to. But I think also some people stay in relationships, especially as you get older and you've been in relationships for a number of years. You stay in the relationship because you've invested so much into it. You don't want to have to admit to yourself, I don't want to say that you wasted so much time, because that time developed you into who you are. Good, bad, or indifferent, you know, those experiences shaped who you are in that moment. But you can walk away feeling like that. If I have to walk away from this relationship, man, I wasted 5 years of my life. I, you know, all this time I could have been with the right person. I've been with the wrong person. And so I think some people stay in those situations because they've invested so much. And not only that, but sometimes you do, maybe it's just me, you know, you get to a certain age where it's like, man, am I ever going to find, you know, am I going to do this? Am I, you know, and I got to the point where I started to wonder, I started to worry, like, man, what am I, you know, am I just going to be alone? Like, am I going to be, I'm not, you know, I'm not into cats, so maybe, you know, a dog guy, am I going to have like multiple dogs and that's it? You know, like, but you have these, you have to have these honest conversations with yourself. But I mean, we could definitely keep going all night long. I definitely don't want to keep you ladies. I don't want to hold y'all hostage. Definitely would like to do this again in the future. I know Shanika says good conversation. D Brown says thank y'all for your time. He knows that it's precious. You know, and for everybody that tuned in, definitely appreciate you guys tuning in and watching. Is there anything else you ladies want to say before we go ahead and close? Good? All hearts and minds. Yes, ma'am.
I got a question. Like, I'm one of those straightforward women in the world. As a man, from a male point of view, is it a good or bad thing if a woman approaches you?
For me, it's a good thing. Like, I don't view it as a negative. Now, I do believe that during the dating process, courting process, whatever label you want to put on it, I believe that the man should be much more engaged and kind of taking that leadership role. But if I'm approached and you let me know you like me, I don't view it as a bad thing. I don't know.
In the thread.
Yeah. I'm so D, Ty, what do you guys think? Russell, if you guys are still there, what do y'all think? Good, bad, indifferent. Oh, now y'all want to be quiet.
Russell said, approach me, doggone.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let me know. I'm just, and for me, I guess a lot of that is because for me, because of things I've gone through, I don't necessarily put myself out there, you know, because it's backfired. I've felt bad about it. It's been one-sided. I've misread things. Like I said, I was a complete idiot and didn't even know somebody was into me, you know, so for me, let me know, shoot your shot, hit me right in the head with it, you know. Hit me with a brick. I don't, whatever you got to do, do it, you know. But of course, now all the guys want to be quiet. They don't want to answer the question.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe they'll answer it later and we can see it in the thread. You know, I appreciate your guys' time very, very much. Thank y'all. I appreciate the honesty and the candid conversation, and hopefully we can do it again soon. I do want to remind everybody that's watching that our Thursday night show house call, we will not be having a house call episode tomorrow night, but we will be next Thursday, not tomorrow, not the 12th, but the 19th we will be. But ladies, thank you so very much for joining us. Definitely appreciate it. And for those of you that have been watching and tuning in with us, we appreciate it. Gentlemen, if you're watching or you watch it at a later date, please answer that question, because I'd definitely like to like to see some feedback on that. But thank y'all very much. And y'all, again, as always, thanks for tuning in. We'll pray for you. Y'all pray for us. And we'll catch you next time on Reflections.
Bye.
And the live stream is over. Thank you, ladies, very, very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. having us.
Definitely, definitely. Sorry we held you hostage so long.
Oh, no, you're good. I actually didn't even realize it was that late if you said something. But, no, it's a good conversation. Thank you. I appreciate it. This will help me try to figure out what I'm going to...